Welcome to Strong Body, Quiet Mind, where Qigong master and yoga teacher Frankie Hart discusses the ancient practices of yoga and Tai Chi Qigong as potent forms of vibrational medicine. Embark with her on a journey that illuminates these time-honored traditions as pathways to optimal alignment in a modern world. Get ready to cultivate strength in your body and tranquility in your mind as we contemplate life's most important questions. The podcast you're about to hear was previously recorded with the Podcast Business News Network and features the radio personalities of Casey Armstrong, Jill Nicolini, and Steve Harper.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have chakras in our body. They harness energy. They can make life better, sometimes a little more challenging, depending on your energy situation per chakra. And in our talks, we've been looking at each of those seven main chakras and what they do. We're up to the last one, the top one, number seven. And she's going to help us out with that. She's the owner and creator of Satya Yoga in Florida. And she is Frankie Hart. She's back with us. Hey, Frankie.
Hello, Steve.
So good to have you here. I've learned so much about chakras. I'm almost embarrassed to even admit that I worked with chakras in a marketing capacity like 10, 12 years ago, but never dug deep into it. And I made a mistake. It was there in my face. All of this was right there. And yes. I didn't absorb it like I should have for maximum benefit of me and everybody else. For anybody that's just picking up on this particular episode, let's just explain briefly what a chakra is.
Beautiful. So chakras are described as wheels of light, or I like to say a vortex of light within the body, and they represent certain kinds of energies, right? So when we're talking about energy, we're really getting beyond, say, the logical mind, because these are something you have to really experience within yourself. These seven primary chakras lie along the spinal column, with the root chakra being there at the pelvic floor, the veil tailbone, and then moving up to the crown chakra where we are today at the top of the head, or even some scriptures say just above the top of the head. So in the crown chakra, we might be even a little bit beyond the physical body.
Now I'm even more intrigued to dig into chakra number seven today and see where we're going to go with that. So what should we know about the seventh chakra? What's it called?
The seventh chakra is called the crown chakra, okay. And the Sanskrit name for it is Sahasrara. This word means and represents a 1,000-petaled lotus that you often see depicted as this beautiful lotus at the top of a guru's head, right? And the idea is that the 1,000 represents infinity. Interestingly, in the traditional medicine of Chinese Chinese healing, there is another point called the Bai Hui, which is at the top of the head. And the Bai Hui translates to the place of 100 meetings, also 100 being representative of infinity. So here we understand that this is where our physical experience ends in a way and transcends to our sense of ourself as a spiritual being.
Very interesting. And I've often heard that when you're harnessing energy from above, it's almost as if you picture a light coming through the crown chakra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From above,
mm-hmm.
Which maybe explains why when you say it sits above your head, you could look at it that way.
Yes. And that it is both of the physical body, but not the physical body, or that we have, what I'd like to say, really to jump in right now, is that we could say, I am a spiritual being having a human experience or having a physical experience, right? And very often we think of ourselves as physical beings, say 95%, and I have a little bit of myself who's a spiritual or inner being, right? But really, when we think of it in a deeper understanding, we understand that this spiritual sense, this innermost sense, is vast. And by comparison, our physical body is actually not as all-encompassing as we think of it. Certainly, it transcends, you know, when we die. And so when we're looking here at the crown chakra does not have an element. Like we talked about, the root chakra had the element of earth and the sacral chakra, the element of water. The third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the element of fire. Here at the crown chakra, we are leaving the physical body, leaving the physical forms. And so we're entering just into pure consciousness or pure spirit. And so we no longer have that physical embodiment. And I think that's where that idea of it's at the crown of the head or just above the head is really quite poignant.
Would you say that the crown chakra is the most spiritual chakra?
Yes. Hmm. Yes, it is. And it's the subtlest of all of the chakras in that way. It is also, Steve, the source of all of the other chakras. So so it is our connection with, whether you want to call it source energy, universal energy, divine energy, and that here from the crown chakra, these other chakras receive the source of their energy, right? Or are sourced, we could say, of energy.
I had that visual, but I want to make sure that it is completely clear. So, Frankie, are you saying that the crown chakra, in some regards, feeds the other chakras?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Which is why, even if we don't consider ourselves a religious person, say, if we have experiences that create a sense of a, like a spiritual void within us, you know, say something very devastating has happened, and we lose that sense of connection with other people or with the good in the world, something in the spiritual plane, it is so devastating for us, right? And when we're looking at situations of even something like depression or suicide, the crown chakra becomes very, very, very important.
Wow. So how do we harness the power of the crown chakra? What are some suggestions? What should we be doing?
Beautiful. Well, one of the things that I like to talk about, because it's so similar to the chi work that I do, or the energy work that I do, people might say, well, I can't feel chi or I can't feel energy. In yoga, the word is prana. Other people might say, oh, I feel the warmth, or I feel the tingling, I feel this sensation or that sensation. And then often a student will say to me, oh, Frankie, I have no chi. I can't feel it. And I say, oh, of course you have chi. You are alive, right? You are alive. You have chi. Similarly, we might say, oh, I have no sense of my spiritual self. I don't have a spiritual self. And I say the same thing. You do. You are alive. You are a spiritual being having a physical experience. And whether you know that or not through some of the more dramatic ways of experiencing that is not as important as that you trust that that is a part of your experience. And then you can lean into it, Steve, and cultivate it, right? So one of the things that I was telling my class earlier today is that, you know, say you're still working and your boss is asking you, what are you producing? What have you done? What do you have to show me? What are you doing? They don't walk in and say, oh, how are you being today? Can I help you cultivate your sense of innermost peace and happiness?
You're never going to hear that. Maybe from you.
You would. Yes. And the irony of that is that when we are deeply connected to our sense of our innermost being, we are actually profoundly productive because we can manifest our dreams, right? We can manifest things because we ourselves are experiencing that connection to our own source energy, which is the source of all manifestation. But, you know, our Western culture, and I think most cultures still, we have a way to go in terms of embracing that, is certainly in the workforce. But even in your family life, you know, you might come home and ask your spouse, what have you done today? Or what have you done for the house today? Or have you done your chores, right? And it would be so beautiful if in our relationships, especially our personal relationships, we could start to foster just that moment of saying hello. In yoga, we have that term namaste. And namaste means that the light in me, which is the spiritual sense of me, sees and greets the light in you. I can only do that if I'm connected with the light in myself. And we were talking about that, right, with relationships and the heart chakra, right? That if I can cultivate the sense of myself, not only am I helping myself, but it's actually a gift to the whole world.
You know, it's so funny. When do you hear somebody say to you, "What did you do for yourself today?"
Yes. Yes.
Never.
Yes. Yes. And yet we can. So, Steve, you know, let's just challenge all of our listeners out there. We can ask our loved ones these questions. We really can. And it is radical. They might look at us like, what do you mean? But if we ask and then lean into that answer, oh, how beautiful. And they might say, some of my students might say to me, "Frankie, I haven't done anything for myself in years." You know, sometimes my students are not only parents, but they are taking care of aging parents, right? And then, you know, when is their time for themselves? But we can learn in these practices that even just a few minutes a day of quieting down, checking in with yourself, tuning into your breath, especially if you're a caregiver, helps you really sustain the long term. Because when you are a caregiver, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon most of the time. And we have to take care of ourselves along the way. And then we can actually enjoy the joy of the journey with our loved one, right? Our loved one, perhaps, who is dying or has dementia, you know, they want to be with our joyful self. They don't want to be with our servant self only. You know what I mean? And what a gift to be able to show up and still spark that joy from within, which lightens their day and their journey of transition so beautifully.
Hey, you know, but imagine this. If somebody were to say to somebody else, "What did you do for yourself today?" Right away, that opens the door to it being acceptable to doing that.
Where, yes, it does.
You know, self-care, I think we briefly talked about this. A lot of us don't do it because of guilt. We feel guilty.
Absolutely.
We're doing something
absolutely
for ourselves.
And if, you know, if we ask someone that and they actually give us a beautiful, honest answer, we're immediately fostering intimacy. Right? And it doesn't have to be a romantic intimacy, but that connection.
Right.
And that connection, Steve, is what the crown chakra is all about. When we are disconnected from crown chakra energy, we feel separation. We feel alienation. We feel like we don't belong. Right. And this, for many of the children in our world right now, you know, especially in our country, is really, really, really significant. You know, when we talk about cyberbullying and all of that, you know, children feeling like there's no place for them. They're not safe and they're not accepted.
Even among their peers. And if you do a search right now, you'll find that there is a mental health crisis in America right now. And to your point, Frankie, the largest audience, target audience of that crisis are teenage girls.
Yes.
And the feeling of disconnect, ironically, they're connected through social media. But on the flip side of that, not a good thing because of cyberbullying, image issues, trying to look like people do on TikTok and Snap and all of that. So it's a big thing, but you make it more clear that it's a disconnect. They feel disconnected.
It is. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the troubles with social media, and there's a lot of things that are wonderful about social media, but one of the troubles with social media is everybody's talking and who's actually listening, right? And I think some of the way in which we really have listeners is in that young, prepubescent, teenage audience where they're really leaning in and they're listening and trying to guide and model themselves from that. So this is going to lead me right into a quote that I wanted to share today with you. Some of you will be familiar with Maya Angelou and Brené Brown, two amazing speakers and writers. So Maya Angelou had a quote that Brené Brown shared that she struggled with. And the quote was, "You're free when you belong nowhere." And Brené Brown goes on to say, "Well, you know, I love you, Maya Angelou, but what are you talking about here? Because I'm struggling with this one," right? Because belonging is such an important sense for our human condition. And Maya Angelou goes on to say in an interview with Bill Myers, when he was kind of pushing at her, "Well, what do you really mean to belong nowhere?" And she said, by belonging nowhere, I actually belong everywhere. And then he pushed a little further and she said, I belong to Maya. This is really powerful. This is crown chakra here. So then Brené goes on to explain this really beautifully in her reflection. She says, true belonging is a spiritual practice. And it's about the ability to find sacredness in being a part of something, as well as having the courage to stand alone.
Hmm. So really, I'm going to lean back on this one. And yeah. I don't normally, but it sounds as if she's saying that she needs to be within herself. And that's what she's saying. I don't belong anywhere. Yes, you do, but you don't. The most important thing is belonging to yourself.
Yes.
So I don't really need to belong in other places, call it groups, relationships, all of that. Yeah, you do, but you really don't if you got right. All this inside. You belong to you.
You belong to you. And that way, Steve, whether it's a relationship with one other intimate partner or a relationship with a group of people, you are free. And in this freedom, you now connect with people who are connecting with you with true intimacy. They're connecting with who you authentically are, rather than you trying to mold and change yourself and adapt yourself to other people. And in that sense, there actually is no belonging because there's no you in the equation, right? Mm. We all hear about relationships where people say, well, I lost myself along the way. Well, how did that happen? You know, at what point did you start to let go, right? So, one of the things that I just some ideas I wrote down here is what I love about Brené's comment is she's saying true belonging is a spiritual practice. That's crown chakra. She's also saying the ability to find sacredness. Sacredness is the crown chakra, that I myself am sacred and I hold myself sacred. So I hold a great deal of respect for myself. So self-respect is key. When you were talking about ways to foster, cultivate crown chakra energy. In what ways can I, you know, take care of myself during the day? And in what ways can I build this sense of respect that I have for myself? Hmm. When we're free to belong in this way, this is called liberation. And there are other words in yoga like this: liberation, enlightenment, samadhi. Samadhi is the last of the eight limbs of yoga, and it's the hardest for people to grasp if they have not yet had a meditation practice. But I always say samadhi is that place within yourself where you have no resistance. You love everything and everyone. And that's where like that beginning love, you know, first love is so magical to us, you know, because when you meet somebody and they've just fallen in love, they don't have migraines anymore. Their job doesn't bother them that much anymore.
Yep.
All the chronic complaints that happen, they're moved way into the back burner. So when we can find this within ourselves, not just in a condition of, say, initial love relationship, then we find this freedom within ourselves, and we then are no longer experiencing separation. Separation is the root of so much suffering in life, Steve, right? And so separation is what is eradicated at the crown chakra, just like darkness is eradicated by the light, right? So we have ideas within this that we're led to see that there is no darkness, actually. There's just light and the absence of light. So when someone says, I have to I have to find or build my spiritual self, or I always want to encourage them to be much softer. The Yoga Sutras tell you that everything that you need is within you already, that you will acquire nothing in yoga. So if we're not acquiring anything, what are we doing? We're coming home and cultivating the sense of who we authentically are, right?
Mm.
And that's big, because we might have, we might own something, but we might not experience it, right? You can think of many things like that. You might have a relationship that you have let go, you know, and haven't really cultivated it. You might have a, you know, part of your garden, you haven't cultivated it. It's still there, but it doesn't have the nourishment. So the same thing, this concept of Svadhyaya in yoga, which is self-study. If I self-study, I am self-reflective. I now know, you know, am I in an act of respecting myself and the choices that I'm making? Or am I getting further and further away from my sense of authentic self? And so these actions that I'm doing, maybe to belong, to fit in, to have companionship, maybe they're actually stripping me away from that real intimate place in my life.
Ring the Frankie bell. Because, you know, out of all the stuff we've talked about, I think that is very important and profound. And the visual I got when we're talking about adapting to others, it's you're the planet and the others should revolve around you. I don't mean that in an egotistical way. You're here and they go around, as opposed to you trying to conform to others and be that planet going around them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, like I always felt like when I was dating, I wanted to meet someone who was their authentic self with me, you know, not somebody who's on good behavior. And so if somebody is losing their own course to revolve around my planet, then say we get married, then what's going to happen when they want to go back to their own trajectory if it has nothing, you know, in common with mine, right? And so if we are courageous enough, if we are courageous enough to be our own real self and to stand alone when we need to, and there are times when we need to, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but if we're courageous enough to do that, then all of a sudden we start to find like-minded people who are also standing alone, you know, that we couldn't see them before, and we can connect there because we've only perhaps been connecting at a different frequency before.
And I get that. Absolutely. In terms of the frequency, we've talked about that before. How does that happen? How does that happen where, okay, you're within yourself, you're all good.
Yeah.
You don't conform to others. You're your own authentic self. What you just said before, I want to find somebody who's their own, they're authentic. You found it in you. Why do you connect with those other authentic people? How does that happen? Is it just you're putting it out there and they're putting it out there and it's sort of like a, you know, meshes together?
It really is. It really is. Right. And here at the crown chakra, you know, we have this connection with source energy. So that which we want to manifest is really set forth on a trajectory when we're connecting in this pure way to our crown chakra. I like to say, you know, that we might not pick the players, you know, we might say, I want you to be my significant other. Well, that might not happen because we don't have the whole picture, but if we can open ourselves up in a very playful way, so play is key here. I don't want to take myself too seriously. I don't want to take all these other things too seriously. I'm here to play. I'm here to engage in this way.
Yep.
I want to meet someone else in their playful self, because when we're connected in our spiritual sense of self, it's a pretty lighthearted place to be. When you experience something which we mentioned before called samadhi, which is probably the closest, and in the Yoga Sutras, they talk about seven layers of samadhi, seven levels.
How do you spell that? Samadhi.
S-A-M-A-D-H-I, samadhi.
I ask because I have a friend, his last name is just that. So now it's something to talk about.
Wow.
We're just curious. When you say that name.
Beautiful last name.
Right away, I hear it. I'm like, I haven't talked to him in forever. So maybe this is, you know, universe's way of saying,
he's coming up.
He's coming
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when you're in a state of samadhi, Steve, everything is beautiful. Everything. Mm. Everything that is manifested, all physical form is beautiful. And even things that you don't like I was thinking before the podcast how to explain this. And I was thinking of, because, you know, we've talked about dogs before. Like, you know, my dog might love the smells and tastes of things that I think are really pretty gross. But she thinks they're beautiful, right? And in samadhi, it's as if you no longer have that resistance to that, right? So It's hard to explain other than to say that we have no resistance. So when we're looking at things out there, even someone that you might consider someone you don't really particularly get along with, when you see them or reflect on them in a state of samadhi, there is no difference between them and your most loved ones in the pouring outward of love and spiritual energy that you have towards them. So we really, 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 really want to be playful as we experience this process, because the translation of this is bliss, blissful. When we come to this Anandamaya Kosha, which is the innermost sense of self, that Anandamaya Kosha translates to mean the blissful body. It doesn't mean the hardworking body. It doesn't mean the super severe aesthetic, you know, where you haven't eaten or drink anything and you're wearing scratchy clothes, you know, body. All these images that we have of spiritual enlightenment, but they say blissful body. And so when we connect with that innermost sense of who we are, everything that we experience changes and gets better, because even the thoughts we have, Steve, are manifestations. So as I have a thought, I'm creating that thought. So if we back up, I have an experience through one of my senses. I see something. Now, through my consciousness, I have a thought about that. Is that thought a good feeling thought? Or is that thought a negative thought that is based on old experiences, right? The higher I move into these states of samadhi and connect with my spiritual self, the more I understand that, oh, that's not necessarily the truth. That's just an old reaction happening. And I can open myself up to really experience the present moment.
Mm, that's powerful
stuff. And all of the beauty of that present moment. Yeah.
It's powerful stuff when you can have that realization and, I guess, call it, make that correction. When you,
yeah, and can we say adjustment?
Thank
because
you.
It's like adjusting frequencies, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tuning your dial, tuning your frequency.
Yeah, like a radio dial. Yeah, let me
exactly
stations coming in. It's not like totally clear.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's right. And I really have loved how we brought in music to our podcast with the chakras. So today, the song I want to bring into us is The Beatles' Across the Universe.
Mm.
And there is a really beautiful stanza in here where they say, "Sounds of laughter, shades of life are ringing through my open ears, inciting and inviting me. Limitless, undying love, which shines around me like a million suns. It calls me on and on across the universe. Jai Guru Deva Om."
Wow. That is super powerful stuff. I love the Beatles. And I never liked them when I was younger. It's only been in like the last, you know, 10 years or so where I really listened. I didn't really listen. I listened, but I didn't listen.
Exactly.
But,
and, you know, they especially, I think, after their trip to India, they started to have a lot more to say, right, for us to really lean into. And the other song that I pulled up is Cat Stevens. And Cat Stevens was someone I fell in love with way back in college. And so I've been a Cat Stevens fan forever.
You mean Yousef.
But yes, exactly. Thank you.
Yep.
That's exactly right. So his song Moon Shadow, there's a verse in here where he says, "Did it take long to find me? I ask the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me? And are you going to stay the night?" This is really beautiful crown chakra question, because when we are connected with our crown chakra, we might ask the light of ourself, you know, "Are you going to stay? Because I didn't feel this good before, and I'm afraid that this is going to go away, right? I'm afraid of losing this connection." And so what I want to give us this concept that it is not the light that leaves us. We turn our awareness away from the light. And when we start to understand that, I think it's a great ray of hope. That there is never the absence of that light for us. That light is always there, but we have turned away from it.
Why?
And so,
why do we do that?
Why do we do that? You know, I think life experience, and I'm going to give an example here, Steve, that I think of with trauma. If say you're a young child who's experiencing trauma, maybe some kind of abusive relationship from a parent, it is a lot easier for a young child to say something is wrong with me than mommy or daddy doesn't love me, because we want to be lovable. And it's less painful to say there's something wrong with me than to say mommy doesn't love me or daddy doesn't love me. And so we start to tune away from our own light, from our own bliss, from our own sense of respect and self-worth. And then that becomes a pattern in a way, doesn't it? And it takes some cultivation and great courage. And it's worth every bit of the journey out there, people, to get some support. And, you know, not too much, not too fast, with adequate support. That's the way to approach this, to let that light come back and shine in you, you know?
Yeah.
It's so profoundly important.
It's been said, go to the light in a different way. This way, we mean go to the light.
Absolutely. The light. Yeah. Absolutely. Follow the light. And the light is within. I belong to me. I belong to me. And when I belong to me, I belong everywhere. Hmm. And that light that is in me, like we say in Qi Healing, that universal energy, so universal energy, this light, surrounds you and passes through you. So it is within you, but it's also dynamic and it's flowing. So we're not stagnant either, right? We're not stagnant as physical bodies, and we're not stagnant as spiritual beings either. We're here, we're evolving, and collectively we're evolving as well.
We're way over time. but you know, whatever. Tell me how we reach out to you. If we want to find out more, we want to talk with you, how do we do that?
Beautiful. You can reach me at SatyaLife, SatyaLife.com, or call 863-802-9642. I'd love taking questions, and anybody who would like to have a discussion of how to start these practices. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I do work with people in the Zoom setting, and I do work with people privately as well as in a group setting. I want to leave us with a mantra, if I could, Steve, for today.
Please.
So the mantra that I have created for you for the crown chakra is very simple. And it is just this: inhaling, love is all there is. And exhaling, I am love. Inhaling, love is all there is. And exhaling, I am love. Mm.
Interestingly, Beatles lyrics.
Yeah.
All you need is love.
Yeah.
And what are the lyrics?
Yeah.
You just said them.
Exactly.
Part of it.
Love is all there is.
There you go.
And they say it over and over and over. They were onto something.
You know, as I get older, I realize that. And Beatles, in such a short period of time between writing, recording, touring, women, substances, all of that, in like 6-7 years. OMG, how you did that, guys.
Yes.
Like, that's a testament to their talent. It really was.
It really is. And a testament to the message or the language they were reaching out. Because like you said earlier, we want to bring these understandings of really quite ancient cultures and times forward. And I think they really did that. And they did it through a pop culture. And we listened. We responded.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, is that we want to move these ideas forward into our daily life, right? Not to keep it something up on the shelf somewhere.
For sure. Yeah, and made it mainstream. All these things, and you know, we're talking about 50, 60 years later. One popped in my head, song, talking about music. You talked about Shine, Light.
Yes.
Collective Soul is the group. Early 2000s, song is called Shine. And the main lyrics I'm hearing is, heaven, let your light shine down. But the song is kind of about the crown chakra, if you look at the lyrics. You know, teach me how to speak, mm-hmm. teach me how to hear, all of that. And again, heaven, let your light shine down. I don't mean that in a religious reference. I mean that in a spiritual, universal reference.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And we've mentioned this before, but sometimes people are nervous if they are from a religious background, that yoga is religion. And I always say to people, yoga is not a religion, but it is a spiritual practice. And mm-hmm. so if you have a religious practice, it will just make you lean into your religious practice all the more.
Or you could just turn it around and say, yoga is my religion.
That's right. You can as well.
Exactly. Frankie, it's always wonderful, and I really mean that, talking with you. And I kind of wish there were like 15 chakras, because we've hit them all here, all seven. But so impactful, so interesting, so detailed, and just the recipe for a great life is right there with all seven of them and your teachings behind them. So I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. And I look forward next time we get a chance to talk, whenever the universe says that's going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to encourage everybody out there to lean in, lean into yourself and explore this journey. It's a magical one.
Yeah. All you need is love.
All you need is love.
All right. We'll
Namaste.
Talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our Strong Body, Quiet Mind community. We hope you return for more captivating conversations with Frankie on the philosophies of yoga and Tai Chi Qigong. Until next time, remember that you have the power within you to create a strong body and quiet mind.